I'm actually at the University of Louisville in the Department of Communication now, but I completed this research when I was at the University of Georgia, and my co-authors are also from there. Please excuse my one typo. I finally found it for this conference, and it's in the first slide of my slide deck here. But the title of my study is Exploring the Importance of Lifestyle Characteristics for Developing Interventions to Increase Fruit and Vegetable Consumption. So we all know that diets high in fruit and vegetables are associated with lower risk for several different types of cancers and different chronic diseases like diabetes and cardiovascular disease. But that changing eating behavior usually is not just a discrete behavior change. It's very much a lifestyle change. And that's really what I wanted to look at in this particular study. I was interested in looking at whether I could use kind of a lifestyle grouping or a lifestyle audience segmentation to explain differences in fruit and vegetable consumption. I thought that because dietary behaviors are lifestyle-based behaviors, that perhaps using this type of audience grouping might work well for things like nutrition or physical activity behaviors. So that was the rationale behind the study. I actually did a large cross-sectional quantitative study and conducted it via telephone in English and Spanish. We started interviewing people mid-February 2006 and completed data collection in April. I talked with a lot of people across the country, but it was not, it's not a random digit dial, it's not a probability sample. I actually was interested in finding places where this lifestyle grouping was kind of equivalent. So there are multiple groups that I was interested in looking at, and I wanted to find general regions of the U.S. where there were equivalent proportions of people in each group. So I didn't want one group to be predominant. I was trying to get an equal number of people in each group so I could compare groups. So that's why you see on the right-hand side of the screen some of the places where I did sample from. I talked with a lot of adults. In fact, I was shooting for about 1,600, but ended up with 1,588 adults. And I'll explain later, but there are eight lifestyle groups that I was interested in, so I was sort of shooting for about 200 in each group. Like I said, this was a telephone survey, and I used the six items from the BRFSS to measure fruit and vegetable consumption. And you can see them up there on the screen. I also thought that perhaps race and ethnicity might play a role in lifestyle, so I also looked at race and ethnicity, and I just used a one-item measure for that. And then the lifestyle grouping that I used was actually a 35-item battery that was developed by a marketing firm. So this is used a lot in consumer marketing. The group that developed it is called Stanford Research Institute Consulting, the Business Intelligence Group, and they've got this particular audience segmentation algorithm that they use that's called VALS. So let me tell you a little bit more about VALS. It's very widely used in the private sector, and it asks a battery of 35 general lifestyle questions. These aren't necessarily health-related, so that's why I was interested in seeing how well this particular grouping would actually predict fruit and vegetable consumption. So it asks things like, I would rather make something than buy it, or I'm often interested in theories. So generally just understanding people's lifestyle and how they consume things in their daily life, not necessarily specific about health, although I think there were one or two questions that did ask about health-related topics. And then it also integrates some demographic questions into the grouping algorithm that they use. And you can see the five demographic questions that they use. So once you take this battery of 35 lifestyle questions and the five demographics, they actually put you in one of eight lifestyle groups. And I want to say that the groups aren't necessarily totally mutually exclusive, but in general, if you were to go through and take the battery yourself, you would get a primary motivation. And so let me show you a little diagram here of how they organize the output. You get a primary motivation. You can see them across the screen, kind of on the horizontal axis. And you would either be identified as someone who's primarily motivated by ideals, achievement, or self-expression. And if you're primarily motivated by ideals, you're interested in doing the right thing all the time. You're trying to make decisions by gathering enough information to make a strong decision. You might use specific guidelines to make decisions, so you might be very religious, and you may use the Bible as a guideline for making decisions in your life. And there are two groups that actually they say are motivated by ideals, the thinkers and the believers. The next primary motivation is achievement, and this one I think is fairly self-explanatory. These people are very motivated by meeting their goals and achieving things in life. And finally, the last primary motivation is self-expression. These people are much more interested in having the world understand what their personality is. So oftentimes, in a more of a consumer-based approach, you'll see them buying particular items that express outwardly to the world who they are and what they're interested in and perhaps what some of the social causes they support are and that type of thing. So there are those three primary motivations. And then on the vertical axis, they actually put people in groups based on their resource level. And resources here include financial resources. So the people on that sort of the top tier probably have higher financial resources, but it also includes informational resources. So things like, do you know where to go if you have a question? Can you get it answered? Do you have a friend who could answer that for you? Could you find it on the internet? That kind of thing. So there's more than just the financial resources that go into this vertical divide. So in general, I was just interested in seeing whether I could use this segmentation or these groupings of lifestyle-based groupings to actually predict or explain fruit and vegetable consumption. And I used a 2x2 factorial ANOVA where I had race and ethnicity as one of my predictors. I thought that that might interact with lifestyle group. And of course, the outcome was the self-reported fruit and vegetable consumption as measured by the BRFSS items. And I found that there was a significant main effect for lifestyle group. No interaction between ethnicity and lifestyle in this particular sample. And like I said, this isn't a fully representative sample, so it may actually exist, and I just didn't find it in the sample. And again, no main effect for my race and ethnicity variable. So I ran some post hoc comparisons by lifestyle group for that particular main effect that I found that was significant. And let me just explain what you're looking at here. On the right-hand side, I have a graph of the group means, and I know it's kind of tiny at the bottom, but there are those eight groups that I showed you before in the real colorful diagram, and I'm going to run through each of the groups. But on the left-hand side are the descriptions of the groups from that the company that actually provides the algorithm for grouping people. So you can see that these innovators, they're successful, really sophisticated people with high self-esteem. They seem to be very active consumers, and they tend to buy a lot of new technologies and niche products and services. And what I found was that the blue box is indicating the referent group that I'm interested in. So the blue box are the indicators. They consume significantly more fruit and vegetables than any other group. And so the orange circles around the means show that those are the other groups that are statistically different than the referent group. So you can see here that the innovators were eating quite a few more fruit and vegetables than anybody else. The thinkers, this is a group that's motivated by ideals, so people who like to do the right thing. And you can see from the description that they value order and knowledge and responsibility. They're fairly well-educated people. In fact, I'm a thinker, and I'm sure a lot of people in this room, if they took the survey, would probably fall out that way. But we like to seek information when we make decisions. And this group consumed really one of the next highest amounts of fruit and vegetables. They were consuming significantly less than the innovators, though, and though significantly more than the strivers and the maker group. The next group are believers. These people, again, are also motivated by ideals, but they're on the lower resource level, so they may not have as much financial resources as the thinkers, and they tend to be more conservative and conventional than the thinkers are. And you can see that they're consuming significantly less than the innovators, but significantly more fruit and vegetables than the strivers. Okay, the achievers, this is our first group that's motivated by achievement, which seems to make sense given their name, but they're very goal-oriented, and this group has higher financial resources and informational resources. They tend to respect authority and the status quo, and you can see that they, again, are consuming significantly fewer fruit and vegetables than the innovator group, but more than the striver group. And here's the striver group, and they're consuming the lowest amount of fruit and vegetables of all the groups. So they're significantly lower than the innovators, thinkers, believers, achievers, and experiencers. And this actually is a younger group. They are lower on the resource level, and you can see, I think it's about the fourth blue bullet down, that they believe that money equals success. But yet they don't generally have enough money to buy what they want to buy. And they tend to buy things that are stylish, products that are emulating this reference group that they'd like to be a part of. The experiencer group, this is a higher resource group, but this is the first group that we've looked at that's motivated by self-expression. And again, this is a younger group, but they're different than the striver group. They are motivated by different internal main motivations, and they're interested in sort of showing the world who they are and trying out new things. They like variety. And it's interesting to me, but the last bullet is a description from the group that actually creates the audience segmentation algorithm. It says that they like exercise, sport, and outdoor recreation. And I wasn't asking about those types of health behaviors, but I was asking about fruit and vegetable consumption and diet type behaviors. And really, they are scoring pretty high on fruit and vegetable consumption, which seems to be associated with their interest in outdoor activities and things. So I thought that I saw a little bit of criterion validity in this particular group as well. The maker group is also motivated by self-expression, but different from the experiencer group in that they're a little bit older, they have lower resources, and they really value self-sufficiency and practicality. These are people who are much more interested in trying to make something first than going out and just buying it. Or if their car breaks down, they probably try to fix it themselves before they take it to the mechanic. They kind of work in this very traditional context, and you can see that they, on average, are consuming about the same amount of fruit and vegetables as most of the other groups. They do consume significantly less than the innovator and the thinker groups, though. And finally, the survivor group. This group has the lowest resource level. So they have the fewest people to ask for questions and information if they have questions about certain things and health behaviors. But they also have the lowest amount of financial resources, yet they're not necessarily consuming the lowest amount of fruit and vegetables. My guess is that they may be growing their own. I'm not sure. That didn't come out in the description of the Valve group, but you can see that on average they're consuming about the same amount as the rest of the groups in my study, except for the innovator, who of course consumed the most overall. So I think that these differences across the lifestyle groupings actually suggest that there might be some value in looking at lifestyle-based audience segmentation in addition to the demographic and geographic type segmentations that we've been using for fruit and vegetable consumption interventions, and that we might be able to also use some private sector marketing tools to help us in looking at lifestyle-based segmentations and lifestyle-based audience groups. And what what I think the next step probably is to take what we know from these segmentations and what we've looked at in terms of lifestyle descriptions and combine it and pair it up with what we know about fruit and vegetable consumption and then theory-based determinants of fruit and vegetable consumption and perhaps use that integration of information to develop initial approaches for formative intervention research. I will say that there are a couple limitations to my study. Obviously, this was a cross-sectional study, so I can't necessarily say that differences in lifestyle caused differences in rates of fruit and vegetable consumption. And I also, as I prefaced by saying, I did not have a true probability sample. I used listed telephone records because I wanted to find specific geographic areas that had fairly equivalent proportions of the different lifestyle groups so I could get people who were in each of the eight groups to answer my questionnaire. And even having said that, there were some groups that had higher response rates than others. And in particular, those thinkers who really like to gather information about making decisions, they answered my survey much more frequently than anybody else, which I would sort of expect. I also did want to point out that the six-item self-report for fruit and vegetable consumption that's used on the BRFSS has been noted to only have moderate reliability and validity. So if you were to conduct the study again for either a different lifestyle-based behavior or some other diet-related behavior, you may want to look into doing it in person and using some sort of food frequency questionnaire that might be a little bit of a more accurate or objective measure for fruit and vegetable consumption. But that being said, there are some directions I'd like to take this research, and I think I'm interested in determining whether this might be a better or worse or equivalent strategy than our traditional approaches using demographics and geographics to identify people to target with our interventions. I'd also like to move forward and look at some pilot interventions that, of course, promote fruit and vegetable consumption. And I'm interested in whether I might be able to couple those interventions with other dietary behavior, other lifestyle-based behavior, like physical activity, given that these are lifestyle groups that I've looked at. I think that I may find similar results for different health behaviors that are also lifestyle-based. And here's my contact information if you want any additional information about the study, or you can ask me now.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thanks for your flexibility.